I would invite you to stand for the reading of the Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 24. It's on page 1540 in your pew Bible if you wish to follow along. However, no one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen, not even the angel in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up until the time that Noah entered his boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. Two will be working together in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken and the other will be left. So you too must keep watch, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. Understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Would you join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, here as we stand at the beginning of the season of Advent, we pray that we might look to you for hope, that we might cling to your love, that we might spread your peace, and God, that we might be filled with your joy. God, as we begin this journey, journey not just toward Christmas, but also into a new Christian year, we pray that we might grow deeper in our faith, that we might grow closer to you and closer to each other, that we might reach out in ministry to the world around us. And now as we prepare to hear a word from you, may our hearts be open, may all of our desires be known to you, may nothing be hidden. May your Spirit work in and through us. And all that we say and all that we do would honor and glorify you. For you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Somebody sent me a joke on email. I won't tell you who it is, but his name starts with Terry and ends with Call. And you know how I love jokes, so I love to laugh, and I think humor is a spiritual gift. So this nothing to do with Advent or anything I'm going to preach on, but I'm just going to share it with you anyway. So at least if you think the sermon is terrible, you can leave here with a good joke to tell your friends. John went to visit his 90-year-old grandfather in a very rural, secluded area of Canada. After spending a great evening chatting the night away, the next morning John's grandfather prepared a breakfast of bacon, eggs, and toast. However, John noticed a film-like substance on the plate and questioned his grandfather, asking, "Are these plates clean?" His grandfather replied, "They're as clean as cold water can get them. Just go ahead and finish your meal, sonny." Well, for lunch, the old man made hamburgers. Again, John was concerned about the plates, as they appeared to have tiny specks around the edge that looked like dried eggs. And he said, "Are you sure these plates are clean?" Without looking up, the old man said, "I told you before, sonny, those dishes are as clean as cold water can get them. Now don't you fret. I don't want to hear another word about it." Later that afternoon, John was on his way to a nearby town, and as he was leaving, his grandfather's dog started to growl and wouldn't let him pass by. John yelled and said, "Grandfather, your dog won't let me get to my car." Without diverting his attention from the football game he was watching on TV, the old man shouted, "Cold water, go lay down now, you hear me?" Meet cold water. Isn't that disgusting? Totally gross. Well, now that I've made you laugh and groused you out, here we are at the beginning of Advent, of a new Christian calendar year and a new season. When you hear Advent, or in your course of the life of faith and your journey here in the church as we've approached Advent, I want you to tell me, what are some themes or some resonances in the season of Advent that stick out for you? What does it speak to you? What does it mean to you? Preparation, hope, Light. Love. Do you find it interesting that here we are in the season of Advent, which puts in the pieces? Advent to me is kind of like a puzzle, in that we can't get to what happens on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, the story of Jesus' incarnation and Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem, and all that happens with Jesus' birth. We can't get there without all the pieces that lead up to it. It would be like reading one of your favorite stories and going to the very end and seeing what happens, but you have no idea how we got to the end. You might know the conclusion, but you don't know what the characters did, what they said, where they went, that got us to that particular point. And Advent is sort of like that. It's putting all these pieces together in this story that help us make sense of the Christmas story. And y'all have reflected some of that, some of the themes that pop up in our season of Advent. Preparation, light, love, joy, hope. Is it interesting to you that here we are as we're heading toward Advent, as we're heading toward Christmas and we know the story of Christmas, that we hear a lesson from the Gospel of Matthew about floods and earthquakes and two people working in the field and one being taken and another left, and two women grinding flour at the mill and one is taken and another left, and a burglar coming in and stealing because people weren't being watchful? Doesn't that seem like a strange, odd story to hear as we're heading toward Christmas? Over the next 4 weeks of Advent, I want us to think of a couple things and to hold a couple ideas, perhaps in tension, as we worship together and as we celebrate Advent. And that is this. I want us to think of it as a journey. Linda brought a suitcase and there's maps here. Some of the things that we need when we go on a journey. We need to be prepared. We need to have an idea of where we're going and how to get there. Advent asks us to wait, to not rush as the world around us is rushing toward Christmas and all that the world thinks that Christmas is about. As the world is rushing toward that, Advent calls us just to wait, to listen to the story about how we get to Christmas, to not rush through all of that to get to the Christmas story, but to wait and to sort of just percolate in that, to be part of it. But it also calls on us to be prepared and be ready to go, to be on a journey. Things that might seem like their intention, waiting, being still, but also being prepared, having sort of the sense of urgency and being ready to go on a journey. We heard in the scripture from Isaiah, we'll hear readings from the book of Isaiah all through Advent and into the Christmas season, the prophet Isaiah, who's talking about a particular day when God makes everything right, when God's reign is fully realized, and it will be the peaceable kingdom. People will journey to this mountain where God's kingdom, where God's reign will flow from this mountain, where nations won't war with each other anymore, where conflict will have been sorted out and people will live peacefully in harmony together. That sounds nice, doesn't it? And then we hear Matthew, which is much more cataclysmic and apocalyptic. Now, apocalyptic is a word that sets some of our teeth on edge. It's a big fancy word, but really all it means is an unveiling or a revealing. Apocalyptic was a genre of literature in the ancient world. The book of Revelation, which is in our Bible, is a type of apocalyptic literature. Now, what apocalyptic doesn't mean is some prediction about things in the far-off future. Unfortunately, that's kind of the way that some of the stuff in our Bible has been read and interpreted and developed. But that's not what apocalyptic literature is at all. What it was meant to do, and Matthew 24 falls into this category, is it's a way to orient oneself to what's happening in the immediate, right there in the present, by looking to the past or looking to the future. It's a way to understand current events. And so what Jesus is doing in Matthew 24, the disciples have come to him. He's just about to go into Jerusalem for Holy Week, for his death, for his resurrection. And the disciples have come to him and they've asked him sort of for his parting words of wisdom or something, because they realize they don't quite understand the fullness of what's about to happen to Jesus, but they know that something significant is about to occur. So they come to Jesus asking for some teaching, and so Jesus is near the temple. And he says, look at this, not one stone will be left unturned here. All of it's going to be torn down. That's at the beginning of Matthew chapter 24. And then Jesus goes on to describe to them not the when, but the what it will look like when that happens. And he starts to talk to them and using the some of the strongest metaphorical language, I think, in the Bible of the sky turning red and the stars shooting out of the sky. Earthquakes, famine, wars, rumors of war. Using such incredible strong language to talk about this. But then Jesus says something that was just before our gospel lesson this morning that I think is so important for us here as we're in our season of Advent and we're thinking about today hope. We're thinking about hope. The hope that Isaiah points us to, that one day God's reign will turn everything right. Jesus says, in the midst of all of this, when you hear all of this, when all of this stuff starts going on, and Jesus is pointing to the immediate reality of just a couple decades after his death of the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. But he says, when all of this starts to happen, that will be an opportunity for you to preach the good news, to give a testimony. That will be an opportunity for you. And I've thought about that. I've thought about that, and Jesus points to the hope that you can find in the midst of circumstances like that, when everything around you is turned upside down. Jesus says, that's an opportunity to give a testimony, to talk about the good news. And it seems as though giving a testimony, talking about the good news, is something that we can do when things are going well, right? When perhaps someone's been healed or cured of an illness, or when a child got into the college that they wanted to go to, when we got a promotion at work, or when things in your marriage or in your relationship are going really well. That's the time where you can testify, to use a word that also might make some of us uncomfortable, to testify, to talk about the good news, to point to what God is doing. Do you find that you can also do that when the doctor says it's terminal cancer? Or when you get laid off of your job. Or when your spouse leaves you for somebody else. Can you talk about the good news then? Can you testify to the hope that is in Jesus at that point? On our Advent journey, on our journey through life, which I think is what Advent prepares us for, it prepares us. It orients us to the rest of the year, to how we're to live, with a sense of urgency, but also a sense of introspection and waiting and reflection. In our own journeys, in our own individual lives, they're up and down, aren't they? Sometimes we're on that mountain that Isaiah talks about where everything is going great, and it feels as though our relationships and God is just there with us. We feel great, but then we get down in the valley. And things aren't so good. And in the midst of maybe our suffering, the suffering of someone we love when life is difficult, can we still look to the hope that we find in Jesus at that point? Can we still give a testimony about the good news of Jesus? Advent looks into the future, at the beginning of it, to the day when all will be made right. It looks to the future so that we can figure out how to live in the present. That is our map on our journey. And we're guided by hope. Hope in Jesus Christ. As I close, I want to tell you a story about hope that can be found in the midst of life's suffering. About the ability to give a testimony in the midst of loss and grief. There was a songwriter named Thomas Dorsey. He was born in 1889 in rural Georgia. He was a prolific songwriter and an excellent blues musician. While he was a young man, Thomas Dorsey moved to Chicago and he found work as a piano player in churches as well as in clubs and in theaters. He was struggling to support his family, so he divided his time between playing in clubs and nightclubs and bars and also playing in the church. Well, after some time of turbulence in his personal life, he devoted himself entirely to playing in the church. Well, in August of 1932, Thomas Dorsey left his pregnant wife in Chicago and he traveled to be the featured soloist at a large revival meeting in St. Louis. After the first night of the revival, he received a telegram that simply said this: "Your wife just died." Well, Dorsey raced home and he learned that his wife had given birth to a son before dying in childbirth. And the next day, his son died as well. Dorsey buried his wife and his son in the same casket and withdrew in sorrow and agony from his family and friends. He refused to compose or to play any music for about 10 years. Well, as he came out of that, and while he was still in the midst of despair, this was actually right after they died, and he told this story much later when he came out of his seclusion. He said that as he sat in front of a piano, a feeling of peace just washed over him. He heard a melody in his head that he had never heard before, and he sat down to the piano, and he started to play it. And that night, Thomas Dorsey wrote these words: "Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home." Friends, in the midst of whatever you're going through this moment, this season, whatever life is thrown at you, and trust me, I know some of you are struggling this moment, on your journey. Some of you were asking, where is God? Where is hope? Where is hope? Friends, even in the midst of it, when it feels like everything is crumbling down around you, promise of Scripture is that Jesus is there giving hope. Jesus is there. Jesus never promised to make life easy for us and that all that's difficult will be taken away. Jesus promised his presence in the midst of it all. And friends, that is good news. That's hope. And my prayer for each one of us is that as we journey together, not just through Advent, but as we journey together as a church into the new year and beyond, that no matter where we are in our life, good times or bad, we will be able to give testimony, to testify, the hope that we find in Jesus. Amen. Sisters and brothers, as you go forth from this place into the reality of everyday living, of all that your life throws at you from day to day, may you cling to the hope found in Jesus Christ. And as we journey together toward Christmas and beyond, may all of us be able to give a testimony to what God has done in our lives, that we might point others to Him. Go forth in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.